are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What up? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, episode 4, Friday, February the 14th, and Spi in the spotlight tonight, and we'll give our first look at the NBA draft. This is your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, the sports writer here in Detroit City covering the NBA for the Detroit News and Associated Press, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. We have reached the All-Star break, and today we're going to talk about Spi Mykhailiuk in the Rising Stars game, give a little rundown of Pistons in the action in the past, and also pass along some disrespect for Spi. Today we're going to talk about the draft as well, a very cursory look, kind of an intro to the other discussions that we'll have as the weeks go on, give you a little guys I like, guys I don't like, and a preliminary take that I have that's kind of a strange take on the lottery that we'll share later on in the episode. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore for that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons Dash Matt Shook. But it is All-Star Weekend, and Spi Mykhailiuk is in the Rising Stars game tonight at 9 o'clock on TNT on the World's Team, taking on Team USA. And what I thought I'd do today is give a little look at all the Pistons who have played in the Rising Stars game, which used to be the rookie sophomores game, and judge kind of where their careers went. I'll let you kind of do that on your own. And let's just say this. It's not a sure thing for Spi from here on out just for making this game. The Pistons have had 12 players play in the Rising Stars / Rookie Sophomore games all time since the game started in 1994. That is tied for 15th most in the NBA with Phoenix and Sacramento. Cleveland leads with 23, and the New Orleans Pelicans franchise and all their iterations since 1994 have the least with 5 all-time in this game. The last player to play in the Rising Stars game before Spi was Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, representing the Pistons in 2015. Only 4 teams in the NBA have longer droughts than the Pistons, and that's Golden State with Harrison Barnes in 2014. He was their last player. Bradley Beal was the last player for Washington in 2014. Damian Lillard was the last player for Portland in 2014. And the biggest drought was Miami with Norris Cole, the last player, in 2012. Of those teams we just mentioned, including the Pistons, all but one have a player in this year's game. Miami has 2 selections this year, Golden State, Washington, and Detroit all with 1. So now the longest drought belongs to the Portland Trailblazers, with Damian Lillard not getting any help on the rookie sophomores or Rising Stars challenge teams since 2014. Pistons history. Andre Drummond played twice in this game and won MVP in 2014, but that wasn't the biggest and most memorable moment for the Pistons in the history, their history of this game. And that would have been a year when Drummond played on Team Shaq against Team Chuck, featuring, that's right, current Piston Brandon Knight. Brandon Knight got crossed over by Kyrie Irving, fell down twice because of moves from Irving. I just watched it on YouTube to kind of relive it. And I'll tell you this, it wasn't as bad as I remembered. Brandon kind of weirdly lost his footing as Kyrie stepped back and did a jump shot, kind of a 3-pointer. And Brandon Knight was trying to get some contesting of that 3-pointer and slipped up as he got his gather for the jump going. So it wasn't as bad as I remember. So that's the good news. But there's a hilarious little recap of lowlights on YouTube. We've talked about this before. But check it out, kind of an off-key Titanic love song, Celine Dion played with the recorder, set to all of Brandon Knight's kind of infamous bad plays and also some less famous bad plays as well, forming a clip on YouTube. Check that out, pretty good stuff. Of course, the DeAndre Jordan dunk is in there that will be part of Brandon Knight's first line of his obituary. Brandon Knight did play in this game twice, by the way. Brandon Knight, 28 years old only. I really think, by the way, he deserves a look by the Pistons this year as a possible third point guard for next season, kind of taking the Tim Frazier role for next year. Last year of a 5-year, $70 million deal for Brandon Knight. Good Lord, what was Phoenix thinking back then? But the other players to play in the game. The full list here: Svi, KCP, 2 for Dre, 2 for Brandon Knight, 2 for Greg Monroe, 1 for Jonas Jerebko in 2010, 1 appearance by Rodney Stuckey in 2009, 1 appearance by Tayshaun Prince in 2004, an appearance by Zelico Rabracha in 2002, Mateen Cleaves in 2001, and in the first year of the rookie sophomore game, the first player for the Pistons to play in this game was 1994, and that was Lindsey Hunter. That's right. Lindsey Hunter was once a young player in this league, and I remember it. And some other superlatives: the Pistons are the all-time rebounding leader for a single game for any team was, you guessed it, Andre Drummond, grabbing 25 rebounds in 2014. The jokes write themselves, folks. Another thing that kind of made me laugh was that Chris Paul had 9 steals in 2007. I mean, Jesus, I'm just picturing Chris Paul making steals of showboat plays in a glorified pickup game, and it's kind of making me laugh a little bit. No wonder why all these teams or all these players kind of dislike Chris Paul. And I wanted to bring that 2007 game to your attention, quickly run down the rosters of those games. Not a lot of rising stars, as it turns out. The rookies: Bargnani, Jordan Farmer, Randy Foy, Jorge Garabosa, Rudy Gay, Paul Millsap, Adam Morrison, Brandon Roy, Marcus Williams. Not a star to be found, although, of course, Brandon Roy was on his track for all-stardom there, and Paul Millsap had a decent career. For the sophomores: Andrew Bogut, Andrew Bynum, Monte Ellis, Ray Felton, Danny Granger, Luther Head, David Lee, Chris Paul, and Darren Williams. Of course, Chris Paul and Darren Williams kind of stealing the thunder of my bit there, but man, not a lot of stars in that 2007 game. Moving on, former Piston Allen Iverson was a Rising Stars MVP, and other former Pistons to play in the game, while there were members of other teams, include Blake Griffin, who's still on the Pistons, if you didn't know that. He played twice in this game. One of those years was against Markieff Morris in the game. Brandon Jennings also played with Milwaukee. Derrick Rose played twice when he was with Chicago. In 06, Charlie Villanueva played against Ben Gordon in a game. The year before that, 05, Pistons legend Josh Smith played in this one. Flip Murray played in Tayshaun's team in 2004. Caron Butler played. Joe Johnson, kind of a former Piston, he was on Zeli Rabracha's team in the rookie sophomore game back in 2002. Man, that is hilarious to me. That was the year after Rip Hamilton played in the rookie sophomore game in 2001, along with Mateen Cleaves. Joe Johnson is old. Remember when it was Joe Johnson versus Christian Wood in training camp? Could you even imagine? If you thought they should have kept Johnson over Wood, you need to identify yourself and give yourself a couple of lashes from the Locked On Pistons podcast. But Chauncey Billups played in 98 alongside former Piston Tracy McGrady. 96 was a smorgasbord of former Pistons: Stackhouse, Bobby Surra, and Rasheed Wallace up against Antonio McDice and Joe Smith. Montross played in 95 on a team as well in 94 with Lindsey Hunter. The inaugural year was another former Piston in Chris Webber. So I think we've reached the end of this exercise. But how about another exercise that caught my eye on Thursday, and that was an article put together on ESPN Insider by Mike Schmitz and Jonathan Givney, a couple of ESPN's insiders on the draft. They did a draft of the 20 players in this year's Rising Stars Challenge and drafted it based upon the guys who they think they have the most potential star power. Where did Svi Mykhailiuk go? Well, he went last. He was 20th out of 20, behind the likes of Josh Okogie, Kendrick Nunn, and Mo Wagner. The disrespect for Svi continues. We'll see if Svi can outlast those guys in his career and have more good moments. We'll be keeping track. We're keeping receipts, Mike Schmidt and Jonathan Givney. But up next, we're going to talk about the draft a little bit. A little bit of a bird's eye cursory view, kind of previewing the way we'll be talking about this here over the next few months. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast.
Yes, sir!
A little bit later on, I'm going to tell you why I think this might be a little bit of a wacky draft season, or why, if it's not, losing in the lottery might not be all that bad for the Pistons. But let's talk about the NBA draft. And first, the reason we're doing this today, kind of the jumping off point, is Sam Vecenie of The Athletic, who I think is the top draft analyst out there right now. He has his latest mock draft, which came out on Thursday. He had the Pistons picking 7th based on their win record that was cut off on Monday. They have since moved down to 6th, by the way. But in this mock draft, he had Anthony Edwards of Georgia going 1st to Cleveland. 2nd was James Wiseman, the big man who played about 5 seconds of ball at Memphis, going to Golden State there. Third was the New York Knicks, and of course, you know already they took LaMelo Ball. That sounds about right. Fourth was Denny Avdija of Israel. He's going to Atlanta, the 18-year-old, 6'8" there. Tyrese Maxey of Kentucky goes to Minnesota at fifth. That fourth pick of Avdija was Atlanta, by the way, if I didn't mention that. And then at six, Charlotte takes Cole Anthony out of North Carolina. So that brings the Pistons up at seven. There's a lot of guys there to draft that I like in that spot. And Vecini goes with Killian Hayes, the 18-year-old, 6'5", point guard from France. According to Sam, calls Hayes a terrific ball handler, elite feel, and has been cutting down the turnovers. He was turnover prone early on the season. But as it's gone on professionally in Germany for him, turnovers have gotten better. Not a great outside shooter, but a very good passer with the experience of playing pro ball in Deutschland. Jonathan Givney of ESPN.com and Draft Express, he hasn't done a mock draft since January 16th. He had Killian going 11th to New Orleans back then. Back then, all those month ago almost, Pistons were picking 13th. So they've done a nice little climb up the draft rankings or draft pick board since then. And he had them taking Precious Achiuwa from Memphis. So not a guy who's kind of falling in draft boards, according to Sam Vecini. Tankathon has Killian right now going at number 7 in their mock draft before he can do the simulated lottery. But that's it because going to Charlotte is because the records are updated on Tankathon. Detroit has number 6th, and going with those updated records, they have Tyrese Haliburton of Iowa State. Now very important to point out that there's two potential Tyrese point guards being drafted by the Pistons in the top 10, which makes sense. You had R&B's Tyrese. He was pretty big and very handsome about 18 years ago, so you can imagine why a lot of ladies would want to name their young sons Tyrese for hopes that they turn into a Tyrese type of specimen. But if you like one of those guys, it might be an interesting draft night for you because Commissioner Adam Silver will say, at number 7, the Detroit Pistons select Tyrese, and you still won't know which one it is until he spits out the whole last name. So you're going to be on pins and needles a little bit here. But some other guys that were there in Vecini's mock at number 7 are the guys that went right after Killian Hayes. That was 8, Isaac Okoro, a defensive freak from Auburn. You know I love my defensive guys, so I love him. The only highly rated wing on here, so I predict that he will rise. 9 was Onyeka Okongwu of USC. I like him a lot, too, as a productive big man. Tyrese Haliburton goes 10th in Sam Vecini's list. Obi Toppin of Dayton goes 11. I love him, the productive college player. A little bit of Blake Griffin in him, just a playmaker there. In a barren college football world, Obi Toppin has certainly been standing out so far this year. Some other good guys later in the first that might rise, I don't love a lot of them, to be honest. There's not a lot of wings in this draft. Last year, I mean, there were so many. We talked about guy after guy after guy. And not that all of them were very good, but it was like, take your pick of these players. Several Johnsons out there, Cameron and Keldon, Sekou Doumbouya, obviously the Pistons. Doumbouya. I'm screwing it up every day. We'll get it right. Sekou Doumbouya. Jeez, that's embarrassing. But this year, it's not a lot of wings out there. It's point guards and centers. And the more modern centers, that's better than usual. But centers, nonetheless, Pistons do need a center, as we know, after trading Andre Drummond. So what about the players that went above the Pistons that I kind of really like? I don't really love any of them, to be honest with you. I'm kind of intrigued with Anthony Edwards' potential as a guy who hasn't played a whole lot of basketball in his life. But no, I'm not a Wiseman guy. I'm definitely not a Ball guy. I don't need another project in Avdija from Israel. Tyrese Maxey and Cole Anthony went next in Vecini's mock. I have them rated lower than Hayes Haliburton and maybe even Theo Maledon in terms of the point guards. So, man, I really like that 7th position for the Pistons. You know, if guys like Okoro and Okongwu and Toppin, you know, are still available along with the Killian Hayes and Haliburton types and Maledon as well. So there's players out there that the Pistons can get if they stay in this kind of position in the draft going forward, which kind of leads me to believe that here's my crazy take for the day, that it's not all that bad to end up in 5, 6, or 7 because, man, first of all, as I mentioned, I don't love a lot of those guys in the top 4 or 5 for now. And the other question is, with the salaries, right? And I know it's not a huge difference, but when you're talking about the difference between getting in the lottery, getting the third pick, and taking LaMelo Ball, who can't shoot right now, hasn't played a lot of high-level basketball, has been kind of stashed over in Europe, didn't really play all that much in Australia. I know that's not Europe, but he was in, I believe, Lithuania before that as well. Well-traveled guy, obviously. And then you got the LaVar Ball situation. It's a discussion for another day, probably at some point this summer. But would you rather take LaMelo Ball and pay him the slot range for the third pick in the draft, or take Killian Hayes at 7 and take a more reasonable contract for him right there? Now, that's not guaranteeing that those guys stay in those positions. But, man, just thinking about that going forward with the Pistons. Certainly lottery night will be a big one. But, man, it just seems like one of those years. I think back to the Anthony Bennett year where top 5 or 6 players – nobody really knew, even on draft night, who was going to go number one. It kind of went down to it. And Anthony Bennett, of those 5 or 6 players, was probably one that most mock drafts going into the night hit Anthony Bennett probably lower than anyone else out of that group. So a really interesting night coming up for draft night, really interesting draft season coming up as well. Looking at Tankathon, they're going James Wiseman 1, Anthony Edwards 2, LaMelo Ball 4. They've got a Kongwu all the way up at 5. And Halliburton, or at 4, and Halliburton up at 5. So a little bit of shifting there from the 4 to 10 kind of range. Killian Hayes going 7th, as I mentioned earlier. But the top 3 stay in the same, a different order there. But James Wiseman, Anthony Edwards, and LaMelo Ball there on Tankathon. Going back to the ESPN mock draft of Jonathan Givney from January 16th, same top 3, Anthony Edwards, James Wiseman, LaMelo Ball. So that's kind of the 3 guys, and man, I don't know. That's 3 guys that I'm not all that excited about, and that's 3 draft slots in terms of salary structure for those top 3 picks that I'm not crazy about either. You'd almost prefer, I don't know, man, and it's crazy because, of course, you'd rather have a higher draft pick. I'm not going to be sitting here crossing my fingers that the Pistons don't get lottery luck on lottery night, but if there's a night, or if it's things kind of stay this way, if that's the case, this thing's kind of come towards May into June and all that stuff, if it stays the way it is right now, that's just something to keep in mind as these games continue here in February, March, and you're rooting for the Pistons to lose. Again, I think the Pistons, you should be rooting for the Pistons to lose so they don't get any ideas of possibly going for that Eastern Conference playoff berth, switching up kind of the tenor of the season, going with a lot of lineup adjustments, going with the young guys as Dwayne Casey and the Pistons realize that this is not going to be a playoff season and there's nothing left to play for in these regular season games. But up next, I've got a little bit of a theory, got a little bit of a wacky conspiracy theory here as it pertains to some of this draft stuff. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. All right, so here's my crazy theory as we talk NBA draft. Anthony Edwards, kind of the consensus number one, although, like I said, Tankathon still has James Wiseman going number one. James Wiseman and LaMelo Ball are 2 guys that don't have a lot of tape against high-level competition. James Wiseman being kind of a traditional center, again, and a very highly rated high school prospect who barely didn't play at all in college for Memphis. I just think that there's the potential for a lot of disinformation out there, even with guys who are very connected. Sam Vecenie, like I said, one of my favorite draft analysts, probably my favorite draft analyst. He's throwing this mock draft out there, and it's different from his big board. He talks about how his big board is the guys that he likes, and the mock draft are guys that, from talking to people around the league, people that he feels are slotted to go where he thinks they're going to go based on conversations he's having. And again, got a lot of trust in Sam Vecenie, and I think he's putting his best effort here forward. I just wonder if around the NBA that there is like disinformation campaigns going on with this draft in particular. I think that it's it's a weak draft. It's not very good. But with the way that these things go, especially when there's so much at stake for all these drafts, I wonder if like the first meeting, if you send the scouts out at the beginning of the college season, and after a month or so, you get all the scouts together on a conference call, you have your first kind of roundup, general overview kind of meeting before phase 2 happens and before phase 3 happens if you're scouting for the year, and that you maybe you sit down and you say, look, We have our guys all over the place. This is going to be one of those years where if you have a mock draft where players are jumbled a lot more than they would be in the traditional consensus mock drafts, I'll have a lot of respect for that, because to have your own opinion on certain guys in certain levels of this draft is something that I would respect in a year where there's not a lot of great prospects. If you like a guy a lot more than the consensus does, I would have some respect for that. And I just think that maybe if you're sitting in that meeting, you say, look, when you're talking to the Sam Vecinis of the world, when you're talking to the Jonathan Givenys of the world, let's lie. Let's lie through our teeth and just have guys that we don't love a lot be up in that top five, be up in all those mock drafts, and have other front offices believe that there's a lot of people out there that love James Wiseman, even though there's, I think I have real questions as to how good he can really be, how many teams really need a center. Anyways, LaMelo Ball at number three, man, I wouldn't feel good about that at all. You got Denny Avdija, who's a prospect. You got Tyrese Maxey, who, like I said, a guy that isn't as high as others on this list. So I think you might have a little bit of a wacky draft night, and you know, just the disinformation that's going to be out there. Teams are going to be really tight-lipped this year, even with the experts, even with the connected guys like Sam Vecini. And I'll go even further and say that maybe LaMelo Ball, maybe James Wiseman are smokescreens up there, and maybe one or both of these guys end up not going in the top three, maybe not even the top five. So I could see some of those guys, especially LaMelo Ball, especially James Wiseman, slipping in the draft on draft night as some of the other maybe, I don't know, sure things like Obi Toppin and Tyrese Halliburton, and then maybe some more exciting prospects like Killian Hayes, like Isaac Okoro, some of those guys. I think that you could see some real shuffling come draft night. And like I said, certainly for the Pistons, if you get up in that seven range, maybe even eight or nine, and we know that's kind of been the graveyard for Pistons picks of the past, thinking about guys like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Brandon Knight, even Andre Drummond. I know he was a successful pick, certainly, but in that same range of players where you're not going to get a big-time difference maker for the franchise, and obviously Drummond didn't really prove to be a big-time difference maker for the franchise, but this might be a year where being sitting at 6, 7, 8, or 9 isn't so bad. Not as bad as some of those years when you miss out on Zion, you're crying in your beer that night. You miss out on Ja Morant, you're crying in your beer that night. And obviously there's been such great number one picks in the past. Anthony Davis, going back to LeBron James, some of those guys that you just know, Kevin Durant at number two, you just know is going to change your team. There's not that guy this year. Anthony Edwards is probably my number one as well. He is not that guy. He's not a sure thing by any means. And just be aware of the disinformation is kind of my biggest takeaway from the very cursory first glance that we're giving here on the Locked On Pistons podcast of the draft. But we're going to be talking about these guys individually as prospects going forward. Looking for experts to talk about them, looking for maybe some of you guys. Have you keyed in on some guys out there? Are you loving Killian Hayes? Are you loving Tyrese Halliburton? I've seen those names a lot on Pistons Twitter, and I'm wondering why you like those guys, what you think about them. Maybe we'll give out a day or so in advance when we're going to preview one of these guys and get some thoughts from you guys on the Google voicemail line at 810-666-1546. Let us know who you like, and next week we'll talk a little bit about the draft on at least one of the episodes during the All-Star break. But that'll do it for our week. Hey, happy Valentine's Day to you guys. Thanks for being my Valentine, all you. But this is your host, Matt Shook, of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Sam, thanks for another great week. Looking forward to talking to you guys on Monday, recapping All-Star weekend. Some guests lined up for next week as well. Exciting times for the Locked On Pistons podcast. Have a great weekend, everyone. Talk to you guys on Monday.